Hi, my name is Brad Linscott. I'm a full-time employee here at Microsoft, and I've been here for about 11 years. All that time spent in most of the areas that focus on supporting our development tools and technologies. Currently, I'm on the Premier Field Engineering Team, or the PFE team. The PFE team primarily provides proactive services to our customers, whether they're various workshops on the different Microsoft technologies, or whether we are doing code reviews or other health checks. One of the things we also do is we troubleshoot issues that span various Microsoft technologies, and they're usually more than just a simple break-fix issue. My focus for most of the past 4 or 5 years has been on applications that hang or crash or otherwise perform poorly or unstable, whether they're written in .NET or C++. So today I'm going to start a series on .NET debugging for the production environment. In the first series, what we're going to focus on is diagnosing or defining the issue. We'll talk about something I call the problem resolution framework, and then we'll talk about the three basic buckets that most application issues fall into, and that's hangs, exceptions, and performance problems. So what is the problem resolution framework? The problem resolution framework represents the cyclical nature of troubleshooting application issues in a production environment. It usually starts with whenever you have the problem the first time, you try to define the problem based on the limited information that you have. You gather the information and try to formulate a problem definition so that you know how to tackle the problem. Without a good problem definition, we don't necessarily know the tools that we need to troubleshoot the issue or when to use the tools. So defining the problem is the key first step when we're troubleshooting these issues in production. In a non-production environment, it's usually not that big of a deal because we can stop the application whenever we want to because we don't have users to consider. But in the production environment, troubleshooting the problem and finding root cause is oftentimes secondary to making sure that the application stays up and running so that our users can have a good experience. After we gather the data, typically we'll go ahead and analyze that data and form a hypothesis on the root cause based on our analysis. Based off of that, we'll go ahead and see if we can put a fix in play and see if that solves the problem. And it's not unusual, especially in production, for this to be kind of a peel the onion process, especially between the gathering data and analyzing data cycles, to where we are trying to get closer and closer to root cause of the problem. But in this session, we're going to focus on defining the problem and gathering the data. And once we define our problem, we should have a really good idea of what kinds of tools we want and how to configure them. So most of our application issues, as I said earlier, will fall into one of three different buckets. You've got your hangs or your non-responsive applications, your exceptions or crashes, and performance problems, whether they're memory pressure or slow execution time or some other performance symptom. We'll start today's session by talking about hangs or non-responsive applications. So an application which doesn't respond when it's expected to is said to hang. So for example, an ASP.NET application that doesn't respond to requests, or a WinForms application that doesn't respond regardless of which control you click on it. And hangs are typically bucketed into one of two areas. You have your high CPU hang, where the process in question consumes most or all of the CPU, or your zero or low percent CPU hangs, where the non-responsive application isn't using any CPU. And this is something that you can check easily just by going to Task Manager and going to the Processes tab and then sorting by CPU. So if we have an application that's hung, what kind of tools do we typically use to troubleshoot this kind of issue? Well, for the most part, the primary piece of data that we want to get is a dump file. So any tool that will create a dump file is really what we want to have in play whenever the application is hung. Probably the two most common tools that we at Microsoft Support use are ADPlus and DebugDiag. You can download both of these from our website. DebugDiag is a standalone application that you can download from our download site, microsoft.com/downloads, and then ADPlus is one of the many tools that's included in the debugging tools for Windows package. Debug Diag has a white paper on MSDN that tells you how to use it. So if you want to learn how to use Debug Diag to get a hang dump, it's actually very simple. It's something that I'll demo in later sessions of this series. You can check out the usage white paper, and the link is on your screen. The key to obtaining data during a hang, just like any other problem symptom, is to make sure that you capture the data during the actual problem symptoms. I've worked with customers before that when they're in a production environment and they see that the problem is happening, sometimes there's a little panic to make sure that they get the application back up and running as soon as they can, and they sometimes forget to get the data until after they recycle the process in question. So a lot of times recycling the process will resolve whatever problem it is that they're having. So when that happens and I get a dump file that they've taken right after the process was recycled, a lot of times what I will end up telling them is, you know, we've got a process here that is brand new. It's been alive for about 5 seconds and it looks perfectly healthy. So the key when you're getting a dump of a hang is to make sure that you get the dump during the hang symptoms, whether it's a high CPU or a low CPU hang. If you have other data at the same time, such as an event log entry that indicates the problem is happening. Some applications might have application-specific logging that may fire off an event or log an event indicating that the problem is about to occur. You can always sync that up with the timestamp in the dump file to make sure that they match, or that the dump was taken very close to whenever that event log was created. Same thing for a perfmon log. If we're able to have a perfmon log that's running, you can always look at the time in the perfmon log. For example, if it's a high CPU hang in perfmon, you should see the CPU usage for your process increase. If the dump was taken during that time in perfmon, then you know you got the dump at the right time. But if perfmon shows that CPU for the process actually came down and then the dump was taken sometime later, that's your identification that says the dump file wasn't taken during the problem symptom. There are times when two dumps during the problem symptom can be very, very helpful. And this is especially true for a high CPU hang, not necessarily so for a low CPU hang, but sometimes it's also helpful for low. Let me give you an example of when why two dumps taken 30 to 60 seconds apart would help for a high CPU hang. What we'll do is we'll take the first dump and analyze it, and then you take the second dump and analyze it. And what you're looking for is a difference in between the first dump and the second dump and the state of the threads, or how much which threads are consuming how much CPU. You can take the delta between the two dumps to identify which thread or threads are actually the ones that are consuming all the CPU. And we'll walk through a demo of how to do this in a later session during this series. And I mentioned that sometimes it's also needed for a low CPU hang. Oftentimes you can't readily identify this until you first take a look at the first dump. A good example of this might be a dump that shows that you're waiting on a critical section. This might be an example of a low CPU hang whereby the debugger tells you that possibly the critical section is in a transition phase. It's very difficult to get a dump during that time, but if you had a second dump that was taken 30 seconds or so later, if the second dump says the same thing, then you know that you can kind of ignore the part about where the debugger says the critical section might be in transition. Because in my 10 or 11 years of working Microsoft support, I've never seen a critical section in transition for that long a period. It's usually a time of very, very small time frame, nanoseconds or microseconds. So what other tools can we use to help debug a hung application in production? Perfmon can also be very, very helpful. As I said earlier, it's got there are two kinds of hangs are typically high CPU or low CPU hangs. Perfmon has various counters that can be very helpful in supporting your problem definition or disproving your problem definition. One of those counters will help to determine, will tell you how much CPU the process is using, whether it's in user mode or kernel mode. Additionally, if you're monitoring an ASP.NET application, for example, that's misbehaving, there are various counters that relate specifically to ASP.NET. So you can use those counters as well to determine what might be happening and the time frame of when those problems are happening relative to when the dump file was taken. So for example, I've seen low CPU hangs in ASP.NET applications where requests are piling up in a queue. And there are counters in PerfMon to help you identify that. And once again, part of the key to gathering the data is, when do we gather the data? For PerfMon, it's key to make sure that it's running before the problem symptoms start. If we identify that we have a hung application in production, and then we go ahead and start our PerfMon log, oftentimes that's too late. Take, for example, a high CPU hang. One thing we like to see is the trend of CPU usage leading up to, as well as during, the hanging behavior. So, for example, I've seen applications where PerfMon shows that the CPU graph will rise steadily until it flatlines, or maybe the CPU goes along at a, whatever its happy place is, whether it's 10% or 20% or what have you. Then suddenly, something happens in the code. We hit some kind of, say, recursion, and the CPU usage spikes up to 100% and then it flatlines. And then I've still seen other applications where the CPU usage spikes up and down. Those spiking behaviors can be an example of the type of behavior that's very tricky to catch the dump file exactly during the high CPU usage time. Tools like DebugDie can help us to automate the process of getting a dump file at exactly the right time. And then other data that can help us with hangs, event logs. Some applications have internal tracing built into them that will log things like exceptions or other behavior that might, depending on the root cause of the problem, that might be indicative that, hey, the problem is about to happen. IIS logs. If this is a web application, sometimes you can use your IIS logs to identify which pages were being requested right up leading up to the problem behavior. If you notice that over time and over reproductions of the issue, it's the same page or set of pages, that can be an indication of where you need to look in your troubleshooting cycle. And then depending on the debugger you use, such as DebugDiag, those tools also can and do create log files that can be helpful when we're trying to troubleshoot exactly what's going on and what our symptoms are leading up to the problem in production. So that was a brief overview of hangs. We'll take a look at exceptions and crashes. Exceptions typically take two forms, first chance and second chance. Your first chance exceptions are exceptions that are not fatal to the process. In other words, they don't cause the process to shut down. And the reason they're called first chance exceptions is because Windows is designed that whenever a process encounters an exception, it checks first to see if a debugger is attached. And if so, the debugger gets the first chance to go ahead and deal with that exception before any catch blocks. Second chance exceptions, on the other hand, are fatal to the process. This is typically what we call a crash. If your first chance exception never encounters a handler that handles it, it becomes, therefore, a second chance exception. And once again, Windows checks to see if a debugger is attached to do anything with the second chance exception. This is where tools like AD Plus and DebugDiag kick in, and they get to do something before the process takes over and shuts down. And this is tools like DebugDiag and AD Plus, they take advantage of this to allow us to do things like create dump files so that we can see what happened and what caused our second chance exception. So that leads us to a slide that talks about what tools do we need to troubleshoot exceptions. I already mentioned AD Plus and DebugDiag. Again, if you want to learn more information about how to use DebugDiag with crashes, you can refer to the usage white paper on MSDN, and the link is on the PowerPoint slide here. For AD Plus, you can either refer to the knowledge base article that also has a link here on the slide, or you can refer to the debugger's help file. When I say the debugger's help file, AD Plus is one of the many tools that's included in the debugging tools for Windows package. And that comes with a CHM file that you can look up AD Plus in and read about how to use it for things like hangs or crashes. Once again, the key is to make sure that the dump is taken right during the problem. And this is a lot more difficult with crashes or with first chance exceptions, because by the time the process is crashed or by the time the first chance exception has occurred, it's really too late to go ahead and try to get a dump of it. So what you need to do is to leverage the power of tools like DebugDiag or AD Plus to automate it and say, I want to go ahead and tell the debugger to attach the process right now. And then when the exception of my choice, whether it's a certain managed exception or any second chance exception, go ahead and dump the process to file. One of the things I want to mention here is that technically speaking, there might be some folks out there who say, well, I've solved crashes before without really getting dumps. All I needed was a call stack. And that's true. there are some crashes or some exceptions that you can solve simply by looking at the call stack of the exception that occurred. But this isn't always the case. There are times where we need to have more information in addition to the call stack, such as the value maybe of parameters that were passed to certain functions, or looking for certain data or values in the heaps. And as in a text file that provides you the call stack won't give you that information. So that's why we always try to get dumps, so that we have as much information as that we can get in a relatively short amount of period, so that we don't interrupt the user experience in a production environment. There are times where getting a dump file isn't possible or it isn't acceptable. I had a customer one time who had his web server was basically only one server. He didn't have a farm. And so he was very, very sensitive to downtime. And I explained to this customer, when we get a dump file, what happens is when the dump file is, and when the dump is written out to file, process execution is paused. The amount of time that it's paused depends on how much memory is committed to the process, and it also depends on your hardware. The more memory that that is committed to the process, the longer it takes to dump that out to file. An example might be a 32-bit process that has about a gig of memory committed. With today's hardware, say four CPUs or more, might take 20 seconds or less to dump out to file. But it wasn't acceptable for this customer, so I had to come up with a different way to get a lighter amount of data. We had the choice to either get a mini dump file, which only gives you basic call stacks and registers information, but it doesn't provide any heap information. That kind of dump typically takes only a second or two to create, depending on how much memory is committed to the process. Other things that might help, we have a sample tool that you can use called Managed Stack Explorer. I believe it's part of the SDK, and it's a tool that will get you managed call stacks only for the process, not native call stacks. I don't advise using this tool in production. I've had some teammates that have used it before, and it's actually hung up the process while I was trying to log call stacks. But that's just a sample application to show you that you can automate and script some of these debuggers to get call stacks. Another option, if this is an ASP.NET application, is to use ASP.NET Health Monitoring. This is not something I've used very frequently, but I've had teammates that have used it with a certain degree of success. It does things like monitors the performance of applications live, whether it's individually or across a web farm. Also can help you rapidly diagnose certain applications or systems that are failing. And there's a link here on the slide that you can use to get more information about ASP.NET Health Monitoring. There are some times where a dump file isn't the best data. For example, some types of corruption, the dump file that you're left with only tells you the state of the process after it's already crashed, which is not always helpful when determining the root cause of the crash. Sometimes you need to go back a little bit in time to see how the corruption occurred. I always equate this to a bank robbery that's happened, and then after the thieves have left, the police are there and all they see the vault that's broken into. What they need is some kind of video camera to go back in time and show them what happened leading up to the robbery. In this case, one of the better options might be a live debug, which is almost never a good idea in production, I understand. But depending on how desperate the customer is, if they can't reproduce the problem in a QA or other pre-production environment, sometimes this is an option. I have done a live debug for a web-based application one time before, and it was a situation in which they couldn't reproduce it in a pre-prod environment. And what we had to do is set up the debuggers on all the servers in the web farm. And whenever they got the symptom in the event log that the problem was going to happen, they took that server out of the rotation so that I could go in there and do a live debug of the issue. So it's not ideal. It's very intrusive because whenever we do a live debug, the entire state of the process execution is paused. So a live debug oftentimes will require a reliable repro and is almost never an option in production. Other data that could be helpful with troubleshooting exceptions, event logs, because a lot of times exceptions will be logged to the event log, and it's something that you can look at after the issue has occurred. Sometimes you'll have lots of exceptions. You may not realize that if it's a crash, for example, there are many different kinds of exceptions that are logged. And not all these exceptions that happen in production are always logged to the event log. I've had customers before tell me that they know that they're not getting exceptions because they don't see anything in the event log. But when we do a live debug in a pre-prod environment, or when I take a look at some perfmon counters that tell me a little bit more about exceptions, we see lots of exceptions happening, especially managed ones. And then, of course, any custom application log that that might be in play. So, for example, if a customer has coded in tracing their application, that can also be helpful, obviously, when you're troubleshooting exceptions. And then the third bucket of problems, performance problems. Whether it's high memory pressure, slow process execution, higher than expected CPU usage, or other or a different kind of problem symptom that you can bucket into performance. High memory. High memory is probably the most common problem symptom that we see when we're looking at .NET applications, even more so than hangs or crashes. And a lot of this comes down to a misunderstanding of how the .NET garbage collector works. A lot of times also when we're troubleshooting high memory issues, we'll see other symptoms that we wouldn't normally see otherwise, such as various exceptions, maybe some extra CPU usage, slow execution times, things like that. And my experience has been that when I'm troubleshooting an application, regardless of whether it's a .NET memory issue or native memory issue, if high memory footprint is one of the symptoms, I always target that first, because my experience has been that when you reduce your memory footprint and get that under control, some of the other symptoms, and sometimes all the other problem symptoms, will go away. So that's always been my standard operating procedure, that when I see an application that's suffering from many symptoms and one of them is memory, I target the memory problem first. Once again, with the memory issue, it's very similar to a hang or a crash. I want to make sure that I get a tool that can get a dump file and dump out the process to file during the high memory usage situation. And then inspection of the dump file, and we'll take a look at some of these issues in further sessions of this .NET debugging series. I'll take a look at a high memory pressure dump file. But we're focusing on this session and on what data to get depending on what our problem definition is. We can also use perfmon with high memory to validate our problem definition. So if we see that, for example, private bytes as well as number of bytes in all heaps is increasing during the time the dump was taken and it's not coming back down, that's our indication that we've got a high memory pressure situation. Now, it may be a situation to where over time the graph of memory might look like, say, the Dow Jones over a course of 5 years or so. You may see valleys that come back down, but the overriding trend over a long period of time is up and up and up. And for a memory issue, a long period of time, it can vary from application to application. Some applications are designed basically to stay up during the business day. Other applications are designed to stay up 24/7 for weeks at a time. And perfmon is not a piece of data that is necessarily mandatory. What I would say is mandatory for helping you find root cause of your problem, but it can streamline the process and it can help you to validate what your problem definition is. And again, similar to the high CPU issue, a perfmon log can also tell us if memory is spiking up and down quickly or if it's a general rise over time. And this can be helpful when we're trying to analyze our dump file. Other information about troubleshooting high memory issues in .NET applications. If it's a native memory leak, this is where you want to try a tool that specializes in tracking unfreed allocations. DebugDiag has the ability to do that with a feature called LeakTrack, which is a little bit outside the scope of this recording. But if it's a managed memory issue, and we'll talk about how to identify this later, comparing private bytes to number of bytes in all heaps, usually one or more dumps during the memory increase is more than enough to solve our problem. There are times where just getting a dump during the high memory pressure isn't enough, but for the most part, getting a dump during the problem symptoms is what we need to troubleshoot the issue. Aside from high memory pressure, other performance problems could be slow performance. In this case, the ideal tool to troubleshoot slow performance is a profiler. Now, Visual Studio 2010 and beyond, there's a profiler that comes with Visual Studio that you can use in both the IDE as well as a command line version of the profiler. This is not always an option that the customer likes, though, because sometimes profilers, as a matter of fact, I'd say in my experience, a lot of times profilers can put a negative impact, negative performance impact on the processes. And this is not something, as we discussed earlier, that we want in production, because the primary goal is to make sure that the application stays up and running stable so that the user has a good experience. Application tracing may be an option. For example, if the application was built with tracing included into it, sometimes customers will can put this kind of logic into their applications and then turn it on and off with a config file. This can be helpful to determine maybe which functions are taking so long. Is it a higher level function or a lower level function? And then something I call the poor man's profiler, getting multiple dumps over a period of time. So, for example, I've worked with customers that it was acceptable to them in their production environment that once they sense that they look at Perfmon, they see, hey, our request execution time is all of a sudden really increasing from whatever was normal to now it's 20 or 30% more, we'll get dump files during that time of the problem process, two, three, four dumps sometimes, to see if we can catch a dump at just the right time. And what we'll do is we'll compare all these dumps that were taken, and we'll see if they have a common theme in terms of which functions were executing on the call stacks when the dump was taken. And sometimes that can lead us to root cause of the problem. It doesn't always work. It's not the the tool of choice. Like I said, a profiler is really best. But sometimes lacking a profiler or lacking a reproduction of the issue in a pre-prod environment, taking multiple dumps over a period of time can be helpful. For web applications, IS logs can also be very helpful. If you're experiencing slow execution time for your web application, you can take a look at the IS logs when the problem occurs and see if you find a common thread between that instance of the problem as well as previous instances of the problem. Is the request that's being made always for the same page or set of pages? It might be that the application itself is fine, but the problem is with a specific page or pages. They're not requested very often. And then finally, Perfmon. There's a link here on the slide for a great article that I use all the time for ASP.NET applications. It was written quite some time ago, but it covers a lot of the different ASP.NET counters that can be very helpful to defining the problem that you're having, whether it's a high CPU or a certain kind of hang or otherwise performance problem. It's a great, great article that I, even though it was written many years ago, I still find it very useful today. And then finally, one of the other issues that I've seen before with .NET applications, although it's not too common, is higher than expected CPU usage. So let's say, for example, that you have an application that is in production and you know from monitoring over a period of time that it uses, say, an average of 10% CPU. You're coming out with version 2, and you know in your pre-prod, you see in your pre-prod testing that it's not consuming 10%, it's instead consuming 30% or 40% or more. So it's not a high CPU hang, but it's using more CPU than you would really expect it to. So how do we troubleshoot this kind of issue? And again, this is similar to a slow execution time, where the ideal tool to use here is a profiler. Because it will, a lot of profilers out there today will tell you where you're spending your CPU time. So the Visual Studio Profiler is an option. And again, the poor man's profiler, as I call it, taking multiple dumps over a period of time, can help you maybe to get an idea of what the call stacks look like for the threads that are consuming all the CPU. And if you are lucky enough to get the dumps at the right time, and I don't mean to say that it's impossible, but a dump is just a snapshot in time. It doesn't represent what was happening a second or two before or after the dump was taken. But if you're exhibiting a constant 30 to 40% CPU usage, it shouldn't be too difficult for the dump files to capture something similar if you take three or four or more to see what the call stacks, what kind of functions are on the call stack when those dumps are taken. And from there, you can investigate what those functions are doing that may increase the CPU. So before we finish here, just a couple of summary slides. Remember, we're focusing here on getting an accurate problem definition so that we can make sure that we start off on the right foot of the troubleshooting process. Poor problem definitions oftentimes will impede your progress towards finding root cause. So examples of poor problem definitions are the application is slow. Everything is relative when you're troubleshooting application issues. I've worked with customers that the 95th percentile of their requests had to be under 16 milliseconds, or it was simply unacceptable. I've worked with other customers where their average request execution time, as long as it was done in under 5 or 10 seconds, they didn't care. So everything is relative. Anything vague, such as well, I had to reset the application pool for my ASP.NET application, or the application isn't working. A lot of times with vague problem definitions like that, there's only so much we can do in terms of trying to find root cause in a very short amount of time. So finding a good problem definition is key to resolving the problem in a short time. This slide kind of summarizes what we've talked about in this session. Whatever problem definition we have, whether it's a high CPU or low CPU hang or an exception or some kind of slow execution or other performance problem, what kind of data do we need? Well, you'll see here that almost all the time, what we need is a dump taken during the problem symptoms. And sometimes, like in a high CPU hang, it can be very helpful to get multiple dumps over a period of time. And I mentioned earlier, with a high CPU hang, getting two dumps 30 to 60 seconds apart. The reason I'm saying about 30 to 60 seconds apart is we want to make sure that there's enough time between the time when the first dump was finished to the time the second dump starts, to allow some process execution to take place there, because what we're wanting to see when we compare the first dump to the second dump is the difference in CPU usage among threads. And that way, when we analyze the dumps, we can determine which thread or threads are responsible for consuming the CPU and look at their call stacks to see why they're using so much CPU. And then there's a column on the right-hand side that's called nice to have data. Again, I've solved many an issue without, like a high CPU hang, without getting two dumps 30 seconds apart. But there are some times where I need to go back and say, you know, the first dump simply didn't tell us what we needed to know. We need to get two dumps next time. Same thing for various times, depending on how tricky the problem is, a high memory pressure issue. Sometimes one dump isn't enough, although oftentimes it is. It's nice to have that second dump taken sometime later. And one thing I wanted to note here, for slow execution, the required data can depend on the application that's executing. So for example, if you're dealing with a WCF application, you may need to get WCF tracing, something that you wouldn't have to consider if it was just a regular plain Jane ASP.NET application. So the amount of data, the type of data that you might need to collect is going to vary depending on the application that you have. And in summary, step one, primary to troubleshooting applications, is getting a good, accurate problem definitions. Data needs to be gathered in order to define and then sometimes verify your diagnosis. So the right tools and the correct tool configuration is imperative to accurately define the problem and make progress towards a problem resolution. And once the problem is accurately defined, you know which tools to use and how to configure them and when to gather the data. Thanks, and join us again for next session on .NET debugging for the production environment.